This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, March 7th, 2014. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Christina Thomas. Ozarks at Large is supported by the Center for Arkansas and Regional Studies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, dedicated to the celebration and documentation of this region's history and culture.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, downtown Bentonville launches its new Notes at Night series, and Candy Lee stops by the studio to discuss and perform some songs off her new album.
Plus, Benton County School of the Arts changes its name. Also, we have our weekly conversation with Michael Tilley from the City Wire. Becca Martin Brown tells us what's up in entertainment this weekend and more.
But first, state lawmakers spent time in committee yesterday hashing out how state surplus money might be dispersed to round out the budget this fiscal session. More than $21 million in increased funds were proposed for broadband for schools and the Department of Correction. There were nearly $90 million total in proposed projects. Some, such as Senator Linda Chesterfield of Little Rock, argued the package presented by Speaker Davy Carter struck the wrong balance. Chesterfield spoke in favor of an amendment by Joyce Elliott allocating $2 million for pre-K.
It is interesting to me that we have already adopted the batch that has been put together by the guys, and I would venture to say that there was not one of us women in the room, and I don't think I would be wrong if I said it. But what is troubling to me is the emphasis that has been placed on correction without an equal interest on those things that preclude correction being a necessity. And one of those things is preparing young people to go to school and to be successful. And that is what pre-K does.
Republican John Burris opposed the funding.
You still have to view things in the context of the larger budget. I think it's the overall objective here is to leave a little bit of money in the bank. Hopefully around $100 million, because we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I've had conversations all day long about how we're going to have to build a prison. We're going to have to do, you know, the list goes on and on of really important things that are going to have to happen, and they're all very worthy, but it's our job to be responsible in how we budget.
Elliott's amendment failed, and the Joint Budget Committee advanced the package presented by Speaker Carter.
Crawford County officials think they have found a suitable location for a new county jail. John Hall, Crawford County judge, says the 8.5-acre site is a vacant car lot on Highway 64 between Van Buren and Alma. Hall says although 9 different potential sites were considered, he and other county leaders felt this site has the most potential.
It's got a 4-lane split access road with an access straight across that can go in and out of it. It has got all the amenities we have, the traffic. We looked at 59 Highway North, but the traffic up there is so bad that it's hard for people to get in and out of it. For emergency vehicles to run that way, it makes it almost impossible without having some kind of weight or have some kind of endangerment there of people trying to get through the sheriff's office and different ones trying to get through traffic. So it was basically picked because that was the most logical one. It'd be the least grade work if everything's right, and it has the best accessibility, and it is right next to the city of Van Buren, which is very important. We didn't want to go a long ways out because we wanted to be as close as we could to the county seat.
The site would cost the county about $275,000. But Hall says much remains to be done before the county can pull the trigger on the land purchase.
It has to pass a lot of tests. It has to pass the environmental test. It has to be approved by the Quorum Court. It has to be approved by the architectural firm that is able to build on that site. You know, there could be some reason why we couldn't. And the sales tax has to pass. So this is a presumptive site that we are looking at. This is not a done deal. So all of this stuff that we're talking about, this is a proposed site that we think that if everything goes right and all the stars align, that with a Quorum Court support, that we, if the and a sales tax passes and it is approved, then this is the site that we want to use.
County voters will be asked in May to decide whether to fund the jail through a permanent quarter-cent sales tax increase and a temporary half-cent sales tax increase that would expire after 9 years. Hall says the tax increase would provide $20 million to cover the projected cost of building the county jail facility, which would include the sheriff's office, a circuit courtroom, 911 dispatch offices, and other amenities associated with the county's law enforcement operations.
The city of Fayetteville today is scheduled to conduct prescribed burns at Lake Fayetteville. The burns will be conducted on Lake Fayetteville Dam and 40 acres of the Environmental Study Center on Lakeview Drive. During the burns, intended to restore natural vegetation at the lake, trails will be closed between Veterans Park and Lake Fayetteville Marina, and between the Environmental Study Center and the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks.
Northwest Arkansas has been responsible for a large share of Arkansas's economic growth during the past few years. according to the Springdale Chamber of Commerce, and data from the State Department of Workforce Services, Arkansas's economy saw a net increase of 16,100 jobs between 2010 and last year. During that time period, employers in the four major cities of Northwest Arkansas added 18,479 jobs, while some areas like Fort Smith, North Little Rock, and Pine Bluff saw net declines in employment numbers. Of the cities in Northwest Arkansas, Springdale brought the most job gains, adding 7,909 jobs, or nearly half of the state's net job increase during the 3 years.
The Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas has named the next dean for the school. This morning, school officials named Todd Shields as dean of the school, and a formal announcement is expected Monday. Shields has served as interim dean since August.
This morning, Governor Mike Beebe announced he has signed into law the appropriations bill for the state's Department of Human Services, which will in turn fund the state's private option Medicaid expansion through June of next year. The bill passed the state Senate last month and cleared a House vote Tuesday after being defeated four times in that chamber. The program is expected to provide health insurance for more than 100,000 poor Arkansans.
Governor Beebe has also announced a number of appointments to state boards and commissions. Included in those appointments were Diane Bryant of Farmington, who will serve on the Arkansas Commission on Child Abuse, Rape, and Domestic Violence. David Dayringer, Fayetteville Fire Chief, was appointed to the Arkansas Fire Protection Services Board. And Shannon Mueller of Springdale was appointed to the Arkansas Appraiser Licensing and Certification Board.
Tonight, expect mostly cloudy skies with overnight lows from 37 in northwest Arkansas to 41 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, Saturday, cloudy with rain likely in the afternoon, highs from 51 to 54. Tomorrow evening, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of rain before midnight, low of 27 in northwest Arkansas. And in the Arkansas River Valley, a 40% chance of rain with a low around 36.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Joining me now on the phone is Michael Tilley. He's the editor and publisher of the City Wire, which covers business, politics, culture, and much more for the KUAF listening area. Hello.
Well, hello, and I would ask how you are, but I know neither one of us are doing as well as Kyle Kellum, who gets to go follow the Razorbacks, play baseball.
Yes, getting to call some baseball games for the Razorbacks in Berkeley this weekend. So hope
I knew there was a reason I didn't like that guy.
Well, maybe he'll bring the nice sunny California weather back with him. How about that?
Yeah, well, then I'll fall in love with him.
Okay, we can forgive him then.
Yeah.
Well, for now, I am in his place, as you guys usually talk on Fridays about what's happening throughout our listening area. And first thing I want to talk about are political filings. We had deadlines for that this week.
Yes, we did, and the surprise, at least it was a surprise for me, was how few on the legislative side, how few contested races there were. So of the 30 legislative districts that represent all or parts of the Fort Smith and Northwest Arkansas areas, only 12 will be contested. And of those 12, only 6 are going to be contested in the GOP primary. And of those 6, only 4 will see a Democratic-Republican matchup in November. The other 2 we'll see a Republican against a Libertarian. So, as I said in some recent analysis, you know that this is not for those who were hoping for a good, healthy slate of candidates under the belief that political competition improves, you know, the chances for better government. Well, better luck next cycle, because we're just not seeing it in this cycle, and it's just a surprisingly short list of candidates. And if you remember, Antoinette, we were told when Arkansas truly entered a two-party system with a strong Republican and a strong Democratic Party that we would see more political competition, and so far that's just not been the case. It's lackluster. I mean, at least on the statewide races, there's some competition, but at these legislative races which if people would stop and think, you know, these are the folks who truly control the purse strings and a lot of policy in Arkansas. It was just a very short list of candidates.
You said you were surprised. Do you have any thoughts as to why there were so few filings or why there's more competition?
Well, one of the things, and this is not really my thought, it's something that I've heard from folks, from consultants from both parties, is that, number one, Democrats, a lot of Democrats that are interested in filing didn't want to file because they were still afraid that right or wrong, President Obama still carries a very negative label in Arkansas, and that negative transfers down to anyone who runs as a Democrat. I mean, we're seeing that with the campaign for governor. You know, the Hutchinson campaign is doing everything they can to tie Mike Ross to President Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. So what we heard is that some folks are just saying, a lot of Democrats said, look, I'm going to run, but just not this cycle. It's just too tough right now for a Democrat to win.
Well, we will just have to keep an eye on that and see how things turn out this year.
Right.
A story that you guys had up at thecitywire.com this week, an interesting one, was on consumer debt.
And what we're seeing, that, you know, there are some relatively good news out there about the overall national economy. We're seeing the stock market hit some all-time highs in certain categories, although, you know, it can be argued that the stock market is really not a reflection of the health of the economy. But one of the things that's popped up, and it somewhat explains why retail sales have been down in the last couple of quarters. You know, we were quick to blame the really bad weather we've had nationwide, but consumer debt rose by $241 billion in the fourth quarter of last year, and that's the largest one-quarter increase since the fall of 2007. And so we're seeing the consumer take on more and more debt, and the result of that eventually will be that the consumer will spend less if they're not already spending less. So overall, consumer indebtedness rose to a little over $11.5 trillion. As of the end of the year, which is up a little over 2.1% from the third quarter. So, you know, it's tough. And we quoted an economist who said, you know, it's really going to be those middle class and lower income consumers who end up having a tough time. You know, they don't have as much flexibility. They don't have as much discretionary income. And so this debt really hits them, and especially if we see interest rates rise. So, you know, and this has could have a clear impact on Walmart, and it may already have an impact on Walmart because they've talked about how strained the consumer is, which is one of the reasons their same store sales in the U.S. have been flat or negative. So it's something to watch, Antoine. This consumer debt is certainly something to watch.
Well, as a retailer, what do you do to attract the consumer? Do you have more sales? Do you lower your prices?
That's it. That's the struggle. I mean, if you're a retailer and you're already struggling to get people in the door and make money, you know, how much deeper do you take your price cuts? So, you know, that's going to be the struggle to get them in the door, keep the prices low, especially as we're seeing, you know, fuel prices tick back up. I mean, I think they're up around $3.20, $3.30 a gallon again. And so that increases the cost of goods because it increases the cost of getting those to the market. So You hit the million-dollar question, Antoinette. How do the retailers respond? And some of them are responding by trying to push more e-commerce sales because that's a better margin. But I wish if I had the answer to that, I'd be sitting in some plush office in Bentonville right now.
Well, maybe that's something you should consider this week and see if you can't find the answer to
there
that million-dollar question.
Change my life over the weekend.
Absolutely. Why not? Looking forward a bit. When I think of summer, I think of water parks. And I know last year, Rogers here in Northwest Arkansas got a new water park. But today, Fort Smith is actually breaking ground on a water park of its own.
Yeah, this has been the troubled water park that's been on again, off again, on again, off again. We've seen Sebastian County government and Fort Smith City government really have trouble doing what both the city of Rogers and the city of Clarksville and Johnson County did with relative ease. But today they break ground on this almost $12 million water park, which is initially supposed to be $8 million, but we won't go into all the silliness around the different prices and the different amenities that eventually resulted. But the one thing that struck us as odd is any of your listeners to the show right now who are public relations folks or media folks would tell you that 5 or 5:30 on a Friday is the exact worst time of a week to schedule a media event. Well, that's exactly what their city and the county are doing today. 5:30 on a Friday, they're going to have a groundbreaking. And typically, when you push out news 5:30 on a Friday, it's because you've got caught doing something you shouldn't be doing, and you're trying to push it out so nobody will notice. But anyway, they are going to break ground today, and I'm sure there'll be some media folks there, but it's just puzzling the public relations decision by these two local governments to have a groundbreaking at 5:30 on a Friday.
Maybe they just wanted to do something different and see what happens.
Well, if they wanted to do something different, they succeeded.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that, and it's supposed to open around Memorial Day weekend of 2015. So,
yes, ma'am, that's right.
Looking forward to that down there. And one more thing I want to ask about is some more numbers, because you guys are very good with your numbers. I want to talk about building permits being up in Fort Smith. That's a good thing.
Right. Well, it is a good thing. And quickly, I know you're running short on time, but,
you're great.
Building permits in Fort Smith, Van Buren, and Greenwood were up about 12%, well, up a little over 12% in the Fort Smith area in February. I know 1 month doesn't make a trend, but it's a nice beginning, and we're up for the year. So hopefully that will continue, because, Fort Smith, it doesn't have as dynamic economy as Northwest Arkansas, and hopefully the construction, with construction up, that's hopefully a sign that people are, both individuals and businesses, are more comfortable spending money, expanding their businesses, or building new homes, or renovating homes. So for the sake of the Fort Smith area economy, let's hope we continue to see some of these double-digit increases in building permit values.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, thank you, as always, for your updates from the River Valley. And good luck this weekend. Hope you enjoy it. And good luck with that million-dollar idea.
All right. Thanks, Antoinette.
Thank you. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the City Wire, which covers business, politics, culture, and much more for the entire KUAF listening area.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blues Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday, and I've got Brick Fields and the Chosen Ones, Eugene Hideaway Bridges, Buddy Flett, Beth Hart, Robin Ford, Paul Thorne, and more. That's the Generic Blues Show every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
A typical day for a Benton County School of the Arts high school student begins with an assembly at 8:15 a.m. All 244 students and 20 teachers attend. It is not uncommon for students to jump on stage to sing, dance, or play instruments. The Benton County School of the Arts is a public charter school serving students in kindergarten through the 12th grade. Barbara Padgett is the principal of the high school.
We are our own district. We have to follow all of the state regulations, take the same state test, and everything. The difference between us and traditional public schools is they get ad valorem tax money, and we get per capita per student, and we don't get the tax money.
Yet another difference from the BCSA and other public schools is that in addition to classes offered and required at any other high school, like English, algebra, history, or science, students have a plethora of arts choices. Patty Stoltman is the school's fine arts director.
Well, we have all of the arts you can think of, both visual, we have theater, choir, we have show choir also, and a theater company. We have graphic arts, photography, art, regular art. We also have orchestra and guitar. We also have a recording class, an audio recording class. We have a recording studio on our campus. And we also have creative writing.
Dance and journalism classes are also options. Students can choose just one to focus on, but are not limited to one. If there is a singer who dances, they can do both things. Or a singer who is also an amazing artist. They can do that as well. Students are not funneled into one type of art because, Stoltman says, the arts work together, even working well with the academic courses. The faculty here works hard to ensure that students can compete with larger surrounding schools.
They're beginning to notice that little schools can do big things too. And that's something that I've noticed the 5 years that I've been here, the growth in our arts programs as well as the excellent ratings and scores of the academic classes as well.
Even with that recognition, the BCSA community has found much confusion with its name. Principal Padgett says Benton County in the name tends to throw people off, and she wants the community to know that no matter the county of residence, students are welcome here.
And some people don't even consider calling us to talk to us about their kids coming here because they think it's limited to Benton County, when we've got kids from Carroll County, Eureka Springs, Fort Smith. Of course, Salem Springs is Benton County, but we've got Fayetteville and Springdale, and that's Washington County.
Students also travel daily from Eureka Springs in Carroll County. This is just one reason why officials became interested in changing the name of the school. Padgett says there's also often confusion about who they are, partly because both campuses, the elementary and middle schools, are in a different location from the high school, which is on Poplar near downtown Rogers. Both campuses occupy former churches.
We're perceived as a parochial school or a private school that charges tuition, and we are an open enrollment tuition-free public school. And that's another thing that we're trying to get out into the public, because we're a secret that's too well kept.
The idea to rebrand recently came about, and the district hired the marketing firm Cranford Johnson. One of their suggestions was to change their name to something shorter and easier. A marketing committee was formed, and brainstorming sessions were held in which names such as Arkansas Fine Arts Academy, Arts Academy of Arkansas, Fine Arts Academy of Arkansas, and Integrated Arts Academy of Arkansas came up. But ultimately, everybody chose Arkansas Arts Academy. Stoltman is a member of the marketing committee.
Arkansas Arts Academy, I think, was the second one down, and we all were looking at it, and we all almost unanimously just said, ooh, I like this one. So that's kind of where, that's how that process went. And so far, we haven't met any problems with it. Everybody's on board.
The number of students at BCSA is capped at 825 from kindergarten through 12th grade, and they are almost there. In the past, they've enjoyed a waiting list, so the goal isn't necessarily to increase enrollment, but rather to increase their community base.
I think the name change will help with any confusion. It's a lot easier to say, and it's a lot easier to remember. Especially when it comes to writing on forms. You know, we have a lot of times there's not enough boxes for Benton County School of the Arts High School. BCS, then when you put BCSA High School, there, you know, what is that? So I think Arkansas Arts Academy, I think it's straightforward. It's what we are. We are in Arkansas, so it encompasses the whole state. We are arts, and we are an academy. So I think that, you know, that speaks to everything we are in one short, concise name.
In order to officially become the Arkansas Arts Academy, the district must present to the Arkansas Department of Education's Board of Directors. They'll have to sign off on the change. In addition to the Charter Authorizing Board, they also must approve. So they're looking at July 1st. That's when the new school year begins. I questioned whether they would have any problems, like students who started attending the school under one name but will graduate under another.
We're the same wonderful family-oriented community group under either name. It's not going to change who we are. It's just going to make it easier for us to be established within the community. So I think that the students, even the juniors that are graduating next year, will be okay with the name change.
Students were also included in the name change process. Everyone was involved, even parents and teachers, in the form of focus groups. The school is already hard at work in the community. Each performing art has at least two performances a year. This school year, Stoltman, also the choir teacher, her show choir performed at the Walmart corporate Christmas party. That's in addition to the annual fundraising event, Celebrate the Arts. It will take place on campus April 4th, with a dinner, silent auction, and performances by every student. When the students aren't performing, they act as servers to the dinner guests, which is also a good skill for artists to have. As I spoke with Stoltman and Padgett inside the principal's office, we were surrounded by upwards of 200 penguins in various shapes, sizes, materials, and colors. The penguin is the school's mascot, and they expect it to remain so. Padgett says she has never bought a penguin herself.
It's a source of pride for the high school kids to have the penguins because they're pretty classy looking if you look around, although there's variations on all colors here. But the black and white just kind of denotes formality and performance and excellence in academics. So that's why the penguins are everywhere.
More information for now can be found at bcsa.k12.ar.us. This is Ozarks at Large.
It is Friday, March 7th, 2014, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Thomas.
And joining us now is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
So I have this eating disorder that I'm hungry for Chinese food after about 3 hours. And I'm hungry for a Chinese menu a week after I've done one.
That's sounds okay. Good. It's a popular item. We like it.
Well, and there's too much going on to fit it in any other way, so... Let's start with my favorite this time.
Theater?
Theater.
Okay.
Good People is wrapping up at Theater Squared at Nadine Baum Studios in Fayetteville. I admit I have not seen it, but I have been told that it is amazing.
I saw it last weekend.
Was it amazing?
It was really good. It was
did
definitely.
You cry?
No.
Did you laugh?
I laughed, yes.
Okay, cool.
I did laugh.
Anyway, last show, 7:30 today and tomorrow, 2 and 7 Sunday, and tickets start at $15, 443-5600.
Now, I know a lot of those were canceled last week with the weather on mm-hmm. Sunday, and I think they are going to make those up. So if you still have tickets and need to get that made
you
up,
need to check
contact
with,
them.
Yes. Trike Theater is doing one of my all-time favorite shows, Romeo and Juliet.
I didn't know that was one of your favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I always dreamed of being Juliet and grew up to be the nurse. Show times are 6:30 tonight and 2 and 6:30 tomorrow and Sunday at the Trike Theater space at 209 Northeast 2nd Street in Bentonville. Tickets
newly
are $5.
Renovated, yes. Black Box space, so very excited for them.
Miss Nelson is missing. We've been talking about this
is
show
she
forever.
Still missing?
She's finally missing. She's been waiting to be missing.
Okay.
It's a great show based on a book, perfect for... I think kids of pretty much any age, because it's got music. It happens at 3 and 5 on Saturday. That's an additional production because of the snow.
Oh, okay.
And 3 o'clock on Sunday at the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale. Tickets start at $8. And, of course, opening Tuesday running through Sunday is Chicago.
Now, this is one of my favorites.
Is it really?
It is.
I thought you were a nice girl.
Oh, well, but you don't know.
I have not seen it on stage, so I'm very much looking forward to getting to see it this week, or this coming week.
It has very hummable songs. And, yeah, I just haven't found who in it I like yet.
Well, go check it out again, and you can make another try to make another decision.
Starts on Tuesday. Tickets start at $39 at the Walton Art Center, 443-5600. Music. Lots of music. Every kind of music.
Yes.
Roseanne Cash.
Tonight.
Tonight at the Walton Art Center. She says she was inspired for her newest album, The River and the Thread, by some traveling in Arkansas, including a stop where her dad was born.
Very cool.
Showtime is 8 o'clock tonight at the Walton Arts Center, and tickets start at $29. Last time I checked, it was not sold out. For something completely different, there's a band called On, about with which I know nothing.
Okay.
Me either.
And I may be pronouncing it wrong. According to Kevin Kinder, our music guru, okay, they've been a supporting act for bands like the Smashing Pumpkins, Built to Spill, and Y Oak. They're from Portland, and they will be at the Lightbulb Club for a show at 9 o'clock Saturday. Of course, they're on their way to South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are $5. So if you can't go to South by Southwest, there's a great deal.
Absolutely.
On Sunday afternoon, part of the Live on Stage in Northwest Arkansas series, the Jesse Lynch Jazz Group will be at the Arend Art Center. And the featured students are the Benton County School of the Arts High School Show Choir. Tickets are $5 to $25 at 855-9997. And there's a show in Eureka Springs on Sunday afternoon at 2:30 to benefit Carroll County Music Group Scholarships. It's all sorts of people performing with John Two Hawks as the headliner. And tickets for that are $5 and $10. City Auditorium, of course.
Of course.
Category 3,
mm-hmm.
History.
Is this the new one?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't think it's been on the menu before. I like it.
There's three cool things going on, and all of them somehow or another involve the Shiloh Museum. One of them is a screening of the HBO film Iron-Jawed Angels, which they do about this time every year, a film with Hilary Swank and Angelica Houston about the women's suffrage movement. And those screenings are at 11 and 2 on Saturday. They're free. And Susan Young is going to be everywhere this weekend. She will be speaking at 2 o'clock Saturday at the Springdale Public Library on Ozark Tombstone Art. That's part of Arkansas Archaeology Month. And at 2:30 on Sunday afternoon at the 1866 Schoolhouse in Bentonville. That one is an overview of shape note singing.
That's still very interesting to me. I don't quite understand it, but it's fascinating.
I don't either. And both of those are free, so go out and have a good time on me.
All right. Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Nothing funny in the news? Think again.
In other news, Ted Nugent does not meet the Dalai Lama. And please, no more rocker Ted Nugent, okay? Off his rocker, Ted Nugent. Fine. Someday he'll pick his teeth with a loaded squirrel gun, and that will be that. I'm Michael Feldman. Join me this week for all the news that isn't and more on the What Do You Know Radio Hour from PRI, Public Radio International.
Listen this Saturday at 10 a.m. to 91.3 FM.
With spring drawing ever nearer, that means we're getting closer to the return of downtown events throughout the listening area. There's First Thursday in Fayetteville, Second Saturday in Siloam Springs, and Third Friday in Rogers. Tonight, First Friday returns to the downtown Bentonville Square. In conjunction with this monthly event, Downtown Bentonville Incorporated is launching its new Notes at Night series. David Deggs is the executive director of Downtown Bentonville Incorporated.
Downtown Bentonville continues to grow and prosper, and we've had a wonderful year of new art and culinary attractions come into our downtown district. We actually held a Notes at Night series last year during our June Art and Culinary Festival, and it was very, very successful. So we decided to take the concept a little bit further and make it a year-round activity.
The series officially launched last night with musical performances by Jonathan Ramsey at Press Room and Finvarra's Wren at Tuscan Trotter. Both musical acts will perform again this evening as part of the new musical series.
Well, what we found was from our restaurant owners and other venue owners, and even from the public, is that people just they just enjoy live music and what it brings to the atmosphere of a place. And, it was a great way just to kind of, bring people together to celebrate, the things that are happening in downtown Bentonville. And we see it as a great way to draw new people to the downtown so they can really experience, what our fine restaurants and other venues have to offer.
Deggs explains First Friday events are typically themed, and this month's event has an Irish theme in honor of St. Patrick's Day. In keeping with that theme, both of this month's musical acts play Irish music.
Jonathan Ramsey is someone we worked with in the past, and he's in the Missouri area, and he's kind of a one-man band, and he's performed in Bentonville before and was really well accepted. And so we were able to bring him back for another performance. And Favara's Wren, they're actually out of Michigan, and we just found about them through a booking agent that told us that they would be coming to our area. They're actually going to be, in Dallas performing earlier in the week, and it just makes sense to come through Northwest Arkansas and bring some of their unique style of music to our downtown area.
Deggs says the theme will change every month, as will the type of musical acts that are featured in the Notes at Night series. The series is scheduled from March to November, and Deggs says they have some creative ideas to mix up the type of music that will be heard throughout the year. Right now, they're planning on having blues, bluegrass, jazz, and are looking at doing something with a small orchestra. Deg says they are working with various downtown Bentonville venues to host the live music each month, so the Notes at Night series will likely take place in different locations.
We always like to say that there's always something happening in downtown Bentonville, and First Friday is definitely a very family-centric event and brings the community together. And this just kind of extends First Friday to some of our restaurants. We encourage folks to come down, explore what our restaurants have to offer, you know, check out our local shop. And so, you know, if you're looking for a great night out, you know, and a great atmosphere, you know, downtown Bentonville is really the place that you want to be.
The Notes at Night series continues this evening in downtown Bentonville. Jonathan Ramsey will perform from 7:30 to 9:30 at Press Room. Finvarra's Wren will perform from 8 to 10 at Tuscan Trotter. More information is available at downtownbentonville.org.
Candy Lee works hard to make sure her songs are just the way she wants them. The melodies swirl, sometimes unexpectedly, around lyrics that can be utterly personal or purposefully universal. Her first CD, The Gate, was primarily a solo effort. Her next CD, released later this month, includes a studio full of musicians. She recently talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio and explained why she titled the upcoming CD Human Conditions.
I named it that because after kind of listening to all the songs and looking over all the song themes and the lyrics, it kind of just came to me that these are a lot of topics and emotions and feelings that that everybody goes through, you know, no matter where you live or, you know, what kind of situations that you grow up in. Everybody experiences love and pain and loss and happiness and, you know, the beauty of what it is to be alive, but also the sorrow of what it is to be alive. So, and then also there's a song on there called Broken Branches, and it kind of talks about how we condition our environment. So it's the human condition, both interior and exterior. So yeah, it's kind of a reflection of sorts.
I think you've put on your website that it's a slight, you feel it's something of a departure from
I
The Gate?
I do. I feel that it's got a different mood to it. The last album was kind of highlighted for me my personal experiences and epiphanies and, you know, just kind of my experience with waking up from just kind of the societal humdrum of life and coming to realize, you know, the beauty and wonderful things that can happen every single day, the magic of life all around us, I guess. And this new album is kind of more of a grounding album, I guess, more dealing with things within the real world. And but it also, I guess, departs from the last album musically, because the last one was pretty much solo. There was a few other artists on there, a few other musicians. But this next one, it's full band, except for one song, which I do a cappella. And I got a lot of Fayetteville musicians on there that are really, really good, and I'm pretty honored to have them on the album. Drew Packard and Garrett Jones and Jennifer Graham all play bass on different songs with their different styles, so... and then there's some strings on there. Andrew Thompson plays strings, and then Warren from my band, and Trey Burkett from, he used to be in Groovement, now he's in Toto Jojo, so the list goes on. It's pretty awesome.
Can we hear something that's on from the CD?
Absolutely. I'll play a song called Time. Innocent.
But I'm not, no, I'm not, no, I'm not. I'm not in a hurry. I don't want to lose my sense of wonder. I don't want to lose my joy. I want to hang on to my fascinations with the world that I have not yet explored.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Did you write it around a birthday?
I did. My 25th birthday.
So were you thinking not necessarily about mortality, but about, I mean, because 25 can be a big birthday.
Yeah. It's just kind of a, I guess, the song about the shortness of life. It's long and it's short, depending on where you're at, anyway.
If you're getting a root canal, it drags on.
Yes. But yeah, it was just kind of at a point in my life where I was just getting kind of frustrated and feeling stagnant and, you know, wanting to progress. But, you know, then at the same time, I started reflecting on it and thinking back to previous times in my life that were really good and really awesome, and how those experiences have made me who I am right now, and how the experiences that I am having right now are making me who I'm going to be in the future. So it's a tricky thing, time, but I think it's what makes us grow. So, yeah.
Can we hear something else from the new CD?
Yes. I'm going to play a song called My Friend. That's another one that kind of just fell into place. It's a There's this guy that works with me at Greenhouse Grill, and he's always making me really awesome food. And so these words popped into my head. I just want to say to you that I appreciate the things you do. And that line started it, and it just went. So, yeah, I'm going to play that song for you now. It's a song about friendship. Okay. Well, I just want to say to you that I appreciate the things you do.
As long as you are by my side. if we have to part, you'll always be in my heart. And when we see each other again, we'll just pick up where we left off. Ooh, my
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Candy Lee's upcoming CD is titled Human Conditions. She'll have a pair of CD release parties later this month. There'll be one at George's Majestic Lounge on Thursday, March 27th, and another one Sunday the 30th at Greenhouse Grill. You can find out more at her Facebook page or at CandyLeeMusic.com. She talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night from 10 till midnight. On the Friday edition of Shades of Jazz, you'll hear some of the music you hear in the background right now. Believe it or not, that is rock drummer Ginger Baker off of his jazz CD with Charlie Hayden and Bill Frisell. We'll also hear music from Jesse Lynch and his trio. Jesse is a New York City jazz pianist and composer who will be performing as part of Live on Stage in Northwest Arkansas this Sunday up at the Aarons Arts Center. And in addition, we'll hear music from Michelle Petrucciani, Dave Pietro, and much more. That's Shades of Jazz, Friday at 10 p.m.
A listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Alpena.
Alpena. I haven't been out that way in a while.
On the way to, like, Eureka Springs and, yeah.
I should take a drive now that it's getting less wintry weather, so... Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Thanks so much for listening. Tune in Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large. I will be joining Christina.
You will. Kyle has been in sunny California. Speaking of sunshine, he's traveling with the Arkansas Razorback baseball team. So we've been together for most of the week.
Yep, and he'll be back next week. Thanks again for listening, and have a fantastic weekend.